We moved here when our daughter was about 4 months old. So we've been here for about 10 years.
A light spring breeze brings the smell of freshly mowed grass through the open windows of James and Marcia Smith's home just north of Columbia. Redbud trees and Douglas pears line the streets of the middle-class subdivision, yet the Smith subdivision was included within the proposed enhanced enterprise zone.
First thing I thought was, what the heck about our neighborhood could be considered blighted? Everybody pretty much keeps up their properties. They're nice homes, and people are proud of them.
Blighted. That's the standard an area must fulfill to become an EEZ. Unemployment, poverty data, safety, and infrastructure, or a combination of any of those factors, are considered when determining an EEZ. Mike Brooks is the president of Ready.
This is an important program for the community. It's unfortunate that we have to use that blighted wording. I mean, that's unfortunate.
There isn't another option. The EEZ must include entire census block groups, rather than just the areas that could be used for manufacturing development. The Smiths live in a block group with land zoned for industrial development to the north and south. James says that's why his neighborhood was included in the proposed EEZ.
They were very far-reaching zones just to pick up a little area here and a little area there, which in the process, they've encompassed all these huge, nice residential areas like ours in between all this.
Independent assessment of the factors of blight show that the original map didn't always match up with the most distressed communities in Columbia. Free and reduced lunch program rates at the elementary school level are one indicator of poverty. The EEZ map included Benton Elementary School, which has the highest free and reduced lunch rates in the city at 9 out of 10 children. It also included significant portions of three school attendance areas that use free and reduced lunch the least, and excluded large portions of some of the poorest school attendance areas. That's the hard data, but to Marcia, it's visible just by looking around Columbia.
And it just doesn't seem, when we were talking about it, like it really fits most of the areas that I know of in Columbia. But it seems like most of the areas that I would consider to be blighted, they're not even part of this EEZ.
For a measure of safety, KBIA examined crime and building code violations. The proposed EEZ would have captured most crime hotspots in Columbia, but fell slightly short. It excluded a major hotspot of crime in Columbia based on 2011 Columbia Police Department data, the area near the Columbia Mall. Building code violations are most dense within the original EEZ proposal, but again, there were exceptions. The West Boulevard neighborhood was not in the EEZ despite numerous violations, where some areas with very few violations were included. For 6th Ward City Council member Barbara Hoppe, she says the EEZ should be more narrowly tailored, but says she understands why the numbers didn't match up in the first proposal.
It's a double focus. Those criteria, and where do you want to create incentives for manufacturing? You know, if our first ward has the lower economic employment, but that's not where we want the manufacturing jobs to occur, then we have to look someplace else.
Not only do the areas within the EEZ have to be blighted, but they also need to have room for industrial development. Marcia Smith says she doesn't see any benefit to her family and her neighborhood.
Most of my neighbors already have a job.
Sarah Radel, KBIA News.